blessing.
Is that Gary?
That's my wife, Gary, singing. This is Bo Mitchell. That's Bob Belts.
Johnny Miller, what a golfer, with his blonde hair.
And you are the very first to hear a song off of Bo's new album, Golf's Greatest Hits.
Listen to this part. I love this.
In the open, when he shot 63, he came back from so far, and soon he was a star. And his caddy, who helped him read his spots, was soon to leave the tour. He was
all right. Shelly Fabre's The Donna Reed Show, 19, what was that, Lori Lynn? 1958? Yeah, you weren't quite born yet, sorry. But I love that song, and I think Johnny Miller someday is going to be proud to hear the new lyrics we've written to old Johnny Angel.
Well, and it's going to be fun when your album comes out and is available. We'll make sure everybody here at You Get the Blessing is aware of it. So
yeah, so you can maybe we'll do something on the show where they can get one of your books. What's the new book you've written?
I have a new book out. You've got a new album coming, so. We've been working hard as old men.
We need to maybe do a mall presentation where we're at a table and, you know, book signing, album signing. And how many people do you think would show up?
Three.
Your wife.
My wife. And Mark Plibby, because he has to.
So anyway, this is You Get the Blessing. And thanks for listening to our nonsense. We try to start each show off with some strange music, and it gets no stranger than golf music, a whole new genre. So, you know, I look at the Rockies this year. We've struggled. We've had injuries, and I'm very thankful that we have more ball games scheduled. So we have a lot of guys that are, for the first time, getting a taste of Major League Baseball and doing quite well. But we're already starting to turn the page and build for next season. I know people may be tired of that, but I really like the fact that there's always another game scheduled, and just there's a new season beginning in just a few months. So hang on, folks.
And the Broncos, I mean, we're ready for, you know, their new season. So
yeah,
you know,
it's a lot of new.
September always makes me feel like kind of back to school,
yeah.
New season, for more so almost than New Year's.
Amen. I agree. And I like saying to our listeners today, so if you're tuned in today and you're feeling like you could use a fresh start or a new beginning, know this, in Christ, what we always talk about on this program, a personal relationship with Christ, the power he promises in the scripture to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, give us a clean slate, is encouraging. It's uplifting. So that's why I say occasionally we stop from the norm. We don't have a guest, and Bob and I do what we call tips from the team. And I wanted to do this today to highlight something that you might need in your life. I hope you have a church home, but if you don't, we have one for you. I want to discuss Highline Community Church and a fresh start that the church is making in what Bob's going to begin a series on. So just stay tuned and listen and think in your own life. You know what? If you're a person that really could use a new beginning and a fresh run at things, this is the time, this is the place. There's new grass on the field. So, Bob, tell us what's going to start here in the next, I guess, week at Highline Community Church.
Yeah, well, and this morning, of course, we are kicking off what I would call kind of our back to church for the fall. I've actually been gone for a few weeks, and I'm excited to get back. And it's funny because you've got this new album coming out called Golf's Greatest Hits, and I'm getting ready to launch just a short series on what is one of my very favorite parts of the Bible, which is the Book of Psalms, and we're going to call it God's Greatest Hits, because a lot of people might not know that the Book of Psalms is actually contains every psalm. There's 150 of them in the Bible, and they are lyrics to songs that were sung in the temple in ancient Israel. So they're like hymns or, you know, whatever. And you, I love it. I read them. I obviously don't sing them, but they were compiled together. There probably were many more, you know, songs like this that were written, but the very best of the best were compiled and appear now in our Bibles, the Book of Psalms. So literally, it's God's greatest hits.
And you're starting a series on that, so you'll teach different things, but I guess an overview would be that there are 150 Psalms.
Yes.
And half of them, roughly, are written by David.
Right. And a lot of times people think that, you know, that identify David with the Psalms, but again, really about half of them we know for sure written by David. There are some that are, we don't know who wrote. David could have even written some of those, but it's not designated. The oldest of all the Psalms, which would be Psalm 90, was written by Moses. So and there's actually a, and I think that's interesting because what it does is it shows how music was such an integral part of the way that God wired us, and that as, you know, all the way, you know, clear back, and, you know, you can go back to the book of Genesis, and actually in Genesis, when it's going through those early genealogies, it makes reference to one man there, and his name was Jubal. And it says that he was the one that was the father, and that all of his sons played the harp and the lute or something. So clear back to the beginning, you know, you see that music was part of God's design. I really believe that God has created us and that part of our DNA is to respond to music in a way that we don't respond to other forms of communication, and that probably from God's perspective, that the ultimate purpose of music was to be a means of worship, of praising Him.
So another thing I like about this series you're starting is that in the Bible you read, the real Bible, Paul says, "I've become all things to all men, so by all means Christ may save some." In the Bible I read, the paraphrase, it says, "Whatever man's like, I try to find a common ground with that man, so that I may share Christ with him and Christ may save him." So common ground is a big term in my life. So laughter seems to be a universal language. Christ, of course, is and should be universal, but I do believe that music is incredibly, can be incredibly used as a fog cutter to just break down barriers and walls and really open up people's eyes and minds and hearts to what God may have to say to him. So it's fascinating that here's this book in the Bible that has 150 songs that these guys have written down and kept for us for all these years.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about your favorite music, or you know, you and I, we've always been, you know, because we're old, you know, Beatles fans. But you think about the range of emotions that, you know, even in popular music, you know, everything from, you know, heartbreak to, you know, great joy and love, and you know, anger. You know, there's this range, and interestingly, the Psalms really cover, you know, almost all of those experiences. You know, for me, by the way, you know, you and I have our great mutual friend that's with Jesus now, Rich Beach. You know, when I first met Richard, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I really didn't know anything about what Christian faith was. I had preconceptions. They were all wrong, but I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. And of course, that was what was extremely appealing to me. And part of the way that that a relationship with God you know, operates is that He's given us the Bible as a way to communicate with us. And actually, you know, the Bible itself talks about that it's not like any other book because it actually is living and active, is the phrase that's used. So one of the reasons we always encourage people to read the scriptures is that they come alive in a very personal way, and God can speak to you through that. Well, when Rich and I first met, I can remember the very first thing I think he gave me was a little New Testament. And I'd never read the Bible, so I mean, I just kind of devoured this. And really, my whole experience in terms of the Bible had to do with just the New Testament. And I can vividly remember, and probably will tell this story a little bit later this morning at Highline, but I remember he called me into his room. We lived in the same house, and he called me into his room one day, and he had a present for me. And what the present was a Bible. It was the whole Bible. It was not just the New Testament. It's like, oh, there's more. And so Old and New Testament. And really one of the very first things that Rich said is you really should begin to read the Psalms. And back then, actually, he said, you know, if you read five Psalms every day, you will read through the entire book of Psalms, you know, in basically in a month. And so I used to do that for years, actually. And then I slowed down and I began to break it down into 5 months. And based upon what the date is, I would figure out what the psalm of the day was and then just begin to read that. But what became true, and this is 45 years ago now, is that that really became for me the reading of Psalms. And what is contained in there really became, for me, probably the primary means of refreshing on a daily basis the relationship with God, you know, that God really seemed to speak to me in a unique way. And again, in terms of the, you know, divine design, so often what I would be going through in my life that day would have some sort of a connection to what that psalm was. So
this is You Get the Blessing. And you're listening there to the voice of Bob Belts, who is the senior pastor at Highline Community Church. He's written 15 books. He is a technical advisor on many of the movies that Philip Anschutz and Walden Media have done over the years. He's also been an advisor to Mark Burnett and Roma Downey on the Bible series. He does a lot of things, and that's among the reasons I encourage you, if you're looking for a place for a fresh start, jump in right now. This morning, 10:30, Highline Community Church. The building that they, their church building is located just south of Shepler's on I-25 and Orchard. So find that location like you're going to buy a cowboy hat at Shepler's instead of going in that empty parking lot on a Sunday morning. Just one block south, you'll see Highline Community Church. Bob is starting a new series on the book of Psalms, and that's what we're discussing here today on You Get the Blessing. So when we show up for church, what's that going to look like? Are you going to attack an explanation of the whole thing, or maybe give us a book at a time or something?
Well, you know, I haven't exactly decided how long this will last. What I wanted to do was just again to kind of kick the fall off, you know, because Psalms are so great, kind of pick some of the really great ones and send, you know, I'm going to explain some of this today, but, you know, for instance, there really are five big categories of Psalms. This is kind of, you know, biblical scholars tend to break them down this way. And probably the Psalms that we might be most familiar with are really Psalms of, you know, that are praise or thanksgiving to God. I would imagine that of all the, you know, Psalms that, you know, we would ask someone, hey, do you know any of the Psalm? You know, probably the most common is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I have everything I need. And it's really David's Psalm of praise. And so, you know, isn't it interesting? I think as a kid growing up, I think every kid had to memorize that. I mean, I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't go to church. So somewhere along the line, maybe in school or whatever, I know that I had to memorize the 23rd Psalm.
You didn't get the Girl Scout cookies they were handing out at vacation Bible school unless you memorized that.
Is that right? Well, see, I missed that. So Psalms oftentimes are, you know, kind of the theme of them is are praises. And actually, by the way, the name of this part of the Bible in the Hebrew, which was the original Old Testament, obviously, it was called Telahim. That was the title of the book, and that's actually the Hebrew word for what we call a psalm, and the word simply means praises. So you have that whole positive, upbeat praise kind of psalm. And sometimes I think about it this way: if you're feeling good and things are going well, praise the Lord, read a psalm. Okay. Now, but there's a lot of other kind of psalms that people might not be familiar with. And one entire category are called the Psalms of Complaint. And basically, these are songs, again, and again, oftentimes a lot of them written by David, but really are expressing to God, hey, what's going on? You know, things aren't going well. What's wrong with you, God? Where are you? One of my favorites, I tend to struggle a bit with depression just by nature. I always have. And I can remember running across Psalm 42 one day, and I'm reading this psalm, and in the psalm, the psalmist, and this doesn't happen to be one written by David, the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so distressed within me? And basically, he's saying, hey, I'm depressed. I'm really down. And he's asking God, where are you in the midst of this? And so periodically, when things aren't going right, the Holy Spirit would inspire David or one of the writers to actually write a song that was used in the worship service of the temple, complaining to God, which I think is refreshing, that God, he can handle us saying, hey, I feel like you're letting me down, or hey, what's the deal, or what's up? And so you have Psalms of Complaint as one of those kind.
So somebody listening that may not be too far on their journey with Christ can feel better. You're not the first to have a complaint of where are you, God, and why is this going on?
And really think about it. And this has happened to me quite frequently, where maybe something difficult is happening in my life and I'm struggling with it, and I sit down and what if I just, and again, I think God orchestrates this sometimes. I turn to the Psalm of the Day, and the Psalm of the Day expresses that same kind of a feeling, so that there's that connection. And by the way, I probably will teach one of the Psalms I'll go through is Psalm 42. And I usually use that as an opportunity to talk about depression and, from a biblical perspective, and how do you handle that? Because it's a struggle that a lot of people have.
This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. That's Bob Belts. And we're discussing what's going to be going on at Highline Community Church starting this morning at 10:30, as Bob is going to teach a whole series on the book of Psalms. And he was going through today on our tips from the team here what the five big categories of Psalms are. So we got Psalms of Praise, Psalms of Complaint. What's next?
Well, I'm going to call it Psalms of Anger. And I don't know. I guess it's my warped sense of humor, but every once in a while I do get a little bit of kick out of these. The technical term that theologians use is they call these the imprecatory psalms. And what they are is they're actually psalms where the writer, and again, David wrote quite a few of these, are really mad. And they're usually mad at some foreign nation that has done something, and they're kind of expressing, anger and vengeance. Probably the classic, in my mind, is Psalm 137. And it's interesting. Many people are probably familiar with this without even knowing it, because one of the songs in Godspell, if you remember that great musical, the whole song is simply the words to Psalm 137. By the way, lest I forget, you too, Bono, one of their songs is Psalm 40, and he just took the lyrics from Psalm 40, and it's great, kind of to put it in a contemporary terms. But Psalm 137 was written when the nation of Israel had been destroyed by the Babylonians, taken into captivity. They're over in Babylon, and apparently they take their musical instruments with them, and they sing the Psalms. And in the psalm, as it's being written, it says that our captors there, said to us, sing us one of those songs of Zion. And by the rivers there, we hung up our harps. Okay. And then they asked him to sing a song. And the writer of Psalms says, you know, again, in this very difficult situation is, how can we sing the Lord's song when we're in, you know, a foreign land? But at the end of that psalm, you know, it's kind of like, imagine there, you're saying to me, okay, you're speaking Babylonian, Chaldean to me, and I can understand it because I'm in captivity, but I speak Hebrew and you don't know Hebrew. So you want one of these songs that I sing, and I sing them in Hebrew, and it's like, hey, I got a great one for you. Let me sing it. And I sing you this song, and you're thinking, hey, that's a pretty cool song. I wonder what it means. And the words to the end of the psalm are, as happy is the guy that smashes your babies on the rocks. So, I mean, again, and it's imprecatory. It's angry, like, oh yeah, I'm going to sing you a song. And here's what my song is about, is you have crushed us. Someday you're going to get crushed back. And so, you know, anger, you know, God can deal with our anger. And when we're feeling angry, sometimes reading a psalm can help us process that. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we won't be hoping that somebody's babies gets dashed against the rocks. But that would be another third category, anger or imprecatory.
So number four is?
Psalms of confession. And again, boy, some of these are beautiful. And probably the classic and the one that I'll teach on is Psalm 51, which is by David. And the psalm itself tells us in an introduction to it that this was what David wrote after the incident with Bathsheba. So he's committed adultery. He's actually orchestrated basically the murder of Bathsheba's husband also. He's tried to cover it up. And then he gets confronted by the prophet Nathan. And when Nathan confronts David about this, David repents and confesses. And then he writes this psalm, Psalm 51. And it's a psalm, again, that is confessing sin and actually, you know, asking God to cleanse him and to the words that are used, which are so beautiful, to create in him a new heart, O God. And so, again, when we blow it, which, you know, we all do, you know, one of the things that can help us get back into fellowship and relationship with God is that, you know, there are these psalms which give us a pattern of confession, and Psalm 51 is a great one.
And actually, you know, if you're listening and you just feel all clogged up, it might be that you haven't even been able to identify, much less confess your sin. So worshiping with other people, exposing yourselves to the teaching of Bob Belts at Highline Community Church might be exactly what you need this morning, just to start that flow of positive back on in your life, because confession is where it all starts.
And before we move to the next psalm, actually, let me just read to the audience just the first two verses of the psalm, and you can get a feel for this. And so David writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Isn't that just beautiful? So
it's beautiful, and the whole setup's beautiful. That's why Christ died on the cross, is we can have that fresh start.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Number five.
Now, by the way, let's let me go then to number five, because number five are called the Messianic Psalms, and the Messianic Psalms are psalms that are prophetic, and what they are talking about, and just it's so amazing. So David, in 1000 BC roughly, he writes, for instance, Psalm 22, and Psalm 22 is one of the psalms that is usually regarded as messianic. And in this psalm, you'll see a lot of what Jesus went through, right down to the fact that when Jesus is on the cross, he quotes the first verse of Psalm 22, which is this: "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me. And so prophetically, you know, even though at the moment when David is writing this, he's feeling, you know, distant from God, it's really also looking down line almost 1,000 years. And in the psalm, it paints a picture of crucifixion. And for instance, he talks about this, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart's turned to wax. It's melted within me. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. And so, again, here's this song, and yet it's being sung in 1000 BC, but at a time when crucifixion hadn't even been invented. Here's this picture of what happened to Jesus Christ, that as he hung on the cross, that literally his bones were pulled out of joint, that as he's hanging on the cross, the Roman soldiers are gambling and casting lots for his garments, and this picture that then when Jesus comes and fulfills this, people can look back and say, wow, you know, this was prophesied 1,000 years earlier. So those are the five biggies: Psalms of praise, Psalms of complaint, Psalms of confession, Psalms of anger, and then Messianic Psalms, God's greatest hits.
So you'll be highlighting these starting this week, 10:30 a.m. Come into Highline Community Church, just one block south of Shepler's there on I-25 and Orchard. And you will be blessed if you come hear this, Bob. I hope the series goes well.
Thanks, Bo.
It's good stuff. And thanks for tuning in today to You Get the Blessing. We'll see you again here next week.
Johnny Miller, what a golfer, with his golf.